turn to Philippians. Thank you, David. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Here in Philippians chapter 2. So again, what I've been doing, because this deals with behavior and our behavior, and what we're trying to get our behavior to do is to line up with the behavior of Jesus Christ. And he says then in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of robbery, or being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And it goes down through there talking about how he is and talking about making himself of no reputation. And so ultimately that's what we're trying to get to. But what I've been doing so far is just taking people in the Bible, characters, different characters in the Bible, and looking at their behavior and showing that sometimes we line up with the one that we think in the story would be the hero, but we're also times where we are lining up and we would be the show the same characteristics of the villain, right? So today I want to talk about, if you'll go from here, we'll just shoot from here over to 1 Samuel. Get 1 Samuel chapter 1. And the Lord Jesus Christ is our example. And that's ultimately who we want to pattern our lives after. And when you go through, we'll be able to go through about and talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to be able to talk about, over there where it says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. There are a lot of people in this world, a lot of religions in this world that try to rob that glory that of God that he has. And Jesus Christ did not rob that glory. The reason is because Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. Bible says there's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. It's not Mary, it's not the Catholic Church, it's not the Church of Christ elder that's going to baptize you. That's not how you get it. You don't get baptized into Christ like that. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we are baptized into Christ. It's a spiritual baptism, right? So that's, we understand by the scriptures that God exalts Jesus Christ. And so that's our Savior. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There is no way we could work our way to heaven. There's no way we could get to heaven unless he took us to heaven. And so we got to do. Jesus Christ said he was the way, the truth, and the life. And so based on what he did as a man and the way he lived as a man, we are supposed to try to take our body, now that we're saved. If you're saved, you've got the Holy Spirit inside of you. You've got that power inside of you to do what? To live your life the way you are supposed to live your life. You have that power. You don't have an excuse anymore. Lost man, they don't have the power of God. The reason lost people act like lost people is because they're lost. We have the opportunity to act like a saved person. We have that power that's inside of us. And so looking at these different behaviors here today, what I want to look at is I want to look at Hannah and compared to what we say, I think it's Peninnah is the way it's pronounced, looking at these in my Bible here with those marks over top of them. But I don't know if it's Peninnah, Penina. I guess I'd have to listen to Alexander Scorby. I don't know. But here we go. We're going to pick it up here in verse 1. The Bible says, now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, and Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other, Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And so immediately what we do here, you see there is a contrast of these people right here, and they're pitted against each other. They're going to be enemies, automatically going to be enemies. I mean, when you look at this situation right here, what you have is you got a love triangle. And Well, I was in Bible school down there. I went to work at a place down there, and what I made, if you ever went into a building where you can take an elevator, you can take those stairs in a building, and you got those handrails going up that around that staircase, that's what I was making. I was making those handrails going up around through there, and you had to use a saw and all this stuff. They had me over in the corner, and the boss came over there one day, and he said, "The reason you got this, you know why you got this job?" And I said, "Lord, open the door." You know, what do you say? I'm just sitting here, and he's talking. He said, "Well, let me just tell you what happened. The guy used to work here. He had two different women going on at the same time. He's dating this girl, and he's dating this girl." He said, "And down there on Palafox one day, they stopped at a red light, and one of the women that was mad at the man, they pull up at a red light, and she's right beside him, and she just turns around and pulls a gun out and shot him, killed him." Sound like some type of murder movie, but it was a real deal. So I'm saying all that to say this. This is a pretty tight situation right here when you look at this situation, because you've got a man, he's got two different wives, and it creates a tough situation for these ladies, right? And the Bible says here in verse 2, again, he says, let's go to verse 3. It says, "And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there. And when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb, and her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. As he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her." So the adversary there is the she, which is Peninnah. "So she provoked her, therefore she wept and did not eat." And so I want to go through Peninnah first, because when I got going through this situation right here, here's the way we look at this situation, right? Because we are on the outside. We're on the outside, and we're looking at this situation right here. And you've got Hannah, who can't have children. She loves her wife. You feel sorry for Elkanah. He's trying to do everything he can to help Hannah. So in the story, everybody looks at Hannah, and they're like, man, she's just in a bad situation. You feel sorry for Hannah. You want to help Hannah. You just hope everything works out for Hannah while you're reading this story. But there's one person that's not very excited about Hannah, and that's Peninnah, sure. And that's the adversary there. And so obviously through here with Peninnah being called an adversary, so she's a type of Satan, right? So it's obviously there that Satan's an accuser of the brethren. So Peninnah is in a bad light right here. But what I want to do is get you to think this morning about, is there a time that I portrayed those characteristics in my life? When you think about Peninnah and you think, Brother Jack, I'd never do something like that right there. I mean, look at her. Look at that. Look at this situation. And I believe that. But here's Peninnah's side of it. And I'm not going to say that she's right. But if we think about Peninnah for a second, right? So she's in a situation here where she's got a husband. And it's obvious, the Bible says, that Elkanah is in love with Hannah. So automatically, she has to live here day by day knowing that her husband loves Hannah more than that he loves Peninnah, right? So she's sitting here and she's having to deal with this situation. So automatically, she's going to feel what? She's going to feel justified. She's going to feel like she's been wronged. So the moment that you're in a situation, when you're in a situation and you begin to feel like you've been wronged, you have the opportunity to begin to act like Peninnah did. You begin to justify the actions toward that person that you don't like. Because as soon as someone says, well, I just don't think you ought to be acting like, you just don't know what they've done to me. Yeah. Right? Those, and so just looking at that angle right there, has there ever been a time in your life there where you're sitting here and you're in a situation where you feel like somebody's wronged you? And so what it begins to produce in your life, it may produce hatred. It may produce the fact that you're going to be an accuser, right? You start accusing them of things. Somebody comes up to you and says, well, I just like old so-and-so. You know them? Yeah, I know them. You just don't know them like I know them. Yeah. See, those are the things. That's Peninnah right there. That's the behaviors that we have in our life that Jesus Christ does not portray. If there's ever been a person in the world that could be frustrated or felt justified to do what they wanted to do to defend themselves, it would have been Jesus Christ. And he didn't do it. He didn't do it. And that's the example that's set forth in 1 Peter, that he was our example. He went to the cross. He was crucified. He was all the sins of the world. He never sinned. All the sins of the world was put on him. And we can sit here and we can justify ourselves, and we can sit here and act like we've been wronged, and that's the way you're supposed to act. And I'll say this, that's the way the world acts. That's the way the world reacts. When something goes on, something happens, you've been offended, or somebody said something to your kid, or somebody said something to your grandchild, or they accused them of something they didn't do. That's when Peninnah begins to rise up inside of us. That's when we sit here and begin to get that frustration or that hatred towards somebody and feel justified in doing it. And you can see Peninnah, she was blessed. She's blessed. She had a bunch of kids. I mean, she was blessed. She was in a situation where she was blessed, but the thing that she wanted drove her to be an adversary to the person she felt like was the cause of all her problems. And if we're not careful as Christians, instead of acting like Hannah, we'll act like Peninnah. There will be times in our lives where we'll sit down and look at something. I think a lot of times, if you've ever been a if you've ever been a coach, or you've ever been a teacher, a Sunday school teacher, anything where you've had to control other people's children, and you're in a bad, that's a bad place to be. Because you cannot win. You cannot win. You get onto a kid, you know what those parents are going to do? Well, I don't know why he got on my kid. He didn't get on that kid over there the other day. How come he didn't get on that kid over there the other day? He got on my kid. And automatically, that begins to well up inside of us. We begin to think, what's their problem, right? Yeah. And then you start telling everybody about how bad that coach is or how bad that. I've got a bunch of teachers in here, right? A bunch of kids that had teachers for parents. They know how things go. And especially with social media and Facebook, people throw stuff out there. People share stuff that they don't even know is true. And they're just adding on to that same stuff. And yet we would read this story, and what we would say is, I don't act like Peninnah. I'd never treat Hannah like that right there. But you're looking at Hannah like the rest of the world looks at Hannah, like it's like everybody feels sorry for her. But if it comes to somebody that's wronged you, when it comes to somebody that's wronged you, we sit there and we'll if they... if they question our authority, or if they act, we're not smart, or they insinuate that maybe we don't know what we're talking about, all that stuff begins to well up inside of us. And what we do is we automatically begin to justify our actions towards someone else, or our reactions towards someone else. And while I'm sitting here, I know how the Holy Spirit works. There's things in your mind right here that you're sitting here, and you're feeling like, man, I do that. But I'll tell you what, I don't know if Brother Jack knows how bad that person is. And you say, what is that? That's the flesh and the spirit begins to dwell in you. If you sit here right now and start thinking about people you feel justified to hate in your life, why do you feel justified to hate them? Because they said something about your children? They said something about your wife or your husband? Or they done you wrong? When it comes to being a Christian, it's not right.
That's right.
Now, I mean, as far as Satan, the adversary, he's telling you, yeah, go ahead, man. Punch them right in the mouth. Tweak their tomato nose. Go right after, get after them. So what is that? That's a work of the flesh. That's not a work of the spirit. And at any moment, a person that's a Christian, we can either say we're going to walk after the flesh, or we're going to walk in the spirit. I'm going to act like a Christian. When something happens to you and something goes on, our first thought would ought to be, I want to react like a Christian here. I want to do what God wants me to do. If all I do is live for the Lord when things are going right in my life, and God's brought me into favor with people, and everything's going good, and my child's the one that's the popular kid, and they're getting all the awards, and they're scoring the touchdowns, or they're hitting the home runs, and then, man, you know, anybody can serve the Lord when everything's good, right?
Right.
It's like, what about when things are bad? That's the whole thing with Job. When Job was sitting there and he was going through those things, the wife was reacting like the world would react. And Job is sitting here and he's trying to look at this thing, and he realizes who he is. Why would I get anything from God? I know who I am. David, what is man that thou art mindful of him?
Yes,
those thoughts. See, when over in Philippians 2, when it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's where God is trying to push us to. And when we look at these characters like Peninnah, and we look at Hannah, and we look at Peninnah, and we try to realize, what are some of the things that she could have done, I mean, that could have even got to Hannah's nerves, right? I mean, can you imagine Hannah's in there crying, and Elkanah's over there trying to talk to her, trying to get her straightened out, and Hannah's kind of feeling pretty good about it. And about that time, Peninnah opens the door and says, "Hey, Elkanah Jr. is needing to talk to you. He's got an algebra problem."
Yeah.
"What do you think I was doing to Hannah?"
Yes.
It don't seem real bad, but I'll tell you who knew what she was saying. Peninnah.
Yeah.
You ever just said something that was passive aggressive? That'll get them. I know. And you got to say that word that you know they're going to understand what you said. But if they say something, you can go, "Oh, I didn't mean that by it." Sure, yeah, you did. We've all done it, right? We know what to say. We know how to say something. We know what tone to use. We know how to look at somebody. We know what to say about them. Somebody said something to your grandkids. Somebody said something to your child. Somebody's done something to them to hurt them. After that, you know what we feel like? We feel like we've got every right to say anything we want about that person. You know what God says? No, you don't. No, you don't. Be sitting around talking, and some of the other ladies are coming over, and got all group of ladies sitting around there, and you got Peninnah sitting around, and you got Hannah sitting around, and you got this lady down the street, and they're all sitting here having their little tea, and all of a sudden Peninnah says, "I tell you what, I had little Peninnah Jr. She was over there last night, and Elkanah, her daddy, oh, what a blessing, he's over there braiding her hair. She just loves her daddy. She just loves her daddy." And Hannah has to sit there and listen to her. And Peninnah knowing exactly. You ever said stuff like that? You know what that is? That's Peninnah.
Yeah.
That's Peninnah. You know what that does? That grieves the Lord. Grieves the Holy Spirit. And what we do is we can look at this situation right here and look at our own behaviors in our own lives.
Amen.
And how do we react when things go wrong? How do we react when we feel like somebody said something to hurt us? And what does God say we're supposed to do? I believe the Bible says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord," right? And so when we sit there having that behavior, having that ability to handle those types of things, you know, I bet that when Peninnah was sitting around, that if Hannah walked in the room, I bet it just got on her nerves just looking at her. I bet if Elkanah ever even mentioned Hannah's name, I bet it drove Peninnah crazy. Did that ever happen to you? Get frustrated with somebody, and then somebody else comes in and just mentions their name, or you see them walk into church, and you're frustrated and you're aggravated, and it just can't stand to look at that person. That's Peninnah. Hey, man, that's good preaching, Brother Jack. Oh, goodness, this is tight, ain't it? It's tough stuff. So what I'm saying is, you've got two opportunities as a Christian. We can act like Peninnah, or we can act like Hannah. And that's the way things work. Let me get this clock set. I'm going to need to get off this stage. I feel it. I feel the heat, man. I feel it. So when you sit there and you look at it and you see Peninnah's side of it, and it don't say a lot. I'm having to put some stuff in there because it don't give us a lot of background on Peninnah there, or even what's going on with Peninnah. But here's what I do know. I know Jack Butts. I know what Jack Butts thinks. I know how Jack Butts acts. I know how he reacts. And it's real easy to put myself in this situation right here. If I was mad at Hannah, if I thought Hannah had done me wrong, and what I think is Peninnah's sitting here and she's looking at that thing, and she ain't feeling sorry for Hannah like anybody else reading this story. She ain't feeling sorry for Hannah. She ain't for Hannah. She don't want Hannah to have any children. She don't want Hannah to get anything good, because that's her adversary. That's somebody that's her competition for Elkanah's love. And so what she feels like is, I've been wrong, just like Leah did, right? Leah felt like she'd been wronged by Rachel. Like when they're sitting there talking about, "You took my husband." You know, people say, you know, it's true, you know, when you look at Leah's side of the story. Well, I don't know. I don't know, first of all, that story with Leah and Rachel. I don't know how Jacob got tricked. I don't know how that works. And Leah obviously wasn't tricked. I mean, she knew that they were getting married. How did she even get in the picture? Her dad had to say, "Listen, you get in here." She had to accept that situation, but she was still mad, right? She's still mad. I know there's been times where somebody's frustrated with a coach, and I've been in a big group of people, and they're frustrated with a coach, and they're sitting there, and they are like, I just can't, and they're dogging the coach out, right? And so just sitting there, I'm just like, man, I ain't saying nothing. I'm not agreeing, disagreeing. I don't want to be in this. Wish I wasn't even in this conversation. But everybody else sitting in that circle knew their kid was a brat and that kid deserved everything it got and was glad that kid got what it deserved, but would not say nothing to defend that coach. And listen to that thing right there. That's the way that thing goes. And we've been there where we're the person listening, and we've been there where we've been frustrated and felt like that, man, it got pointed out, they did this, all those types of things, right? So with Peninnah there as the adversary, even though she's wrong, it's 100% wrong, looking at it from her perspective, which is what we have to do. Look at that. When you live your life, where has somebody done you wrong? And according to God, how are we supposed to react with it? Now, I'm not saying that it's easy. I'm not saying it's easy. I bet it would be really hard for Peninnah to pray for Hannah to have a child. Would have been really hard. So it gets to us. It's hard for us. It hurts our prayer life when we begin to act like Peninnah. We can't pray. We can't pray for Hannah. The person you're mad at, you can't pray for them. It hurts your... Then when that begins to hinder your prayer life, it begins to hinder everything else about your prayer life, right? All right, let's just move on a little bit. Move on to Hannah. Everybody loves Hannah. So let's look at Hannah. So the first thing is that when we look at Hannah's life, is Hannah had a burden, but more than a burden, she had a desire. That desire created a burden in her life. So she's got this desire. And when I say desire, I'm not talking about, man, it'd be good if I had that right there, you know. But if you don't get it, it's no big deal, right? You think about it, oh, man, I'd like to have something like that right there. Or you even may even think about it for a couple of weeks. Something pops up you've never seen before, something you want, some kind of deal going on, and you want it, and you think about it. But then you just kind of forget about it, right? I mean, we get a lot. There's all kinds of stuff that goes on like that right there. That's not really a desire. It's not really a desire. A desire is something that when you look down through here, you can see in Hannah's life how it affected her. It was something that she thought about every day of her life, and it affected her. So let's look down through here at some of the things, first of all, that it affected. Verse 6, it says, "And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb." So the first thing that you realize is that she frets. And when you look up the word fret, what it means a gradual wearing away, like with almost like with a sandpaper thing that's just constantly rubbing against you until it wears you down, till you can't hardly handle it anymore. So when you think about a desire, right, you think about a desire that you've got, it's something that wears, because you don't have that desire, it's wearing away, it's wearing on you, it's roughing you up. Look at verse 7. "And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat." So it's got her crying too. I mean, she's sitting there to the point of tears over this. So and the reason I'm wanting you to see this is we're talking about desire. A true desire. When you truly desire something and get to the point to where you want to see something happen, right? That is what I'm talking about right here. So Hannah's got a desire. And this desire, obviously in the passage here, is to have a child. But what I want to do this morning is to get it applicable to you, right? I want you to be able to apply that to your life. What are some things that you want, that you think about, that you desire, that you just got to have to the point to where you're in tears over it, right? You're in tears over it. That's what that real desire is. That's what it is. And when you look at these missionaries, people like John Hyde said, "Give me souls ere I die," right? He's at the point of wanting souls so bad. You got a guy there that asked the Lord, said, "God, give me one soul every day. One soul every day." And the Lord answered that prayer. It wasn't because he just thought, man, it'd be cool if I could lead somebody to the Lord every day. It wasn't that. I mean, of course it'd be cool. Of course that'd be pretty neat to be able to say, "I've led a soul to the Lord." At the end of that year, he said, all he wrote in his journal was 365 souls. What a blessing.
Yes.
And then he got bolder. To where he really wanted, it hurt him so bad, he wanted to win two souls to the Lord every day of his life. And the Lord answered that prayer. While he's on a mission field where before he got there, it was dead. It was dry. There was nothing going on until John Hyde got there in Punjab, India. And from there, when 1908, he prayed, God, give me 4 souls a day. Not just one prayer. It was a desire like this right here. And so he got in there and he began to pray. And God answered that prayer. 4 souls a day he was leading to Jesus Christ. So what is that? That is somebody that had a burden and they wanted God to move. And it wasn't just a good idea. It just wasn't something that was cool. It was affecting their life. Affecting. He would spend hours and hours on his knees. When he left India and came back to the United States because of sickness, they said his heart had moved from this side of his heart to this side of his chest to this side of his chest. It had moved. He had worn grooves down on in his floor where his knees were, where he sat down and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. So what is that? That's desire. That's desire. And we look at this situation here, Hannah's wanting something that's carnal. And I'm not telling you not to pray for anything carnal. God's given us richly all things to enjoy. It just can't affect our spiritual life. It can't get in the way of our spiritual life. If it's a toy that gets you away from the Lord Jesus Christ, then you don't need that toy. But if there are some things in your life that you want, that's going to make you happy in life, and you can still serve the Lord, okay, those are good desires. But think about the connection here with Hannah. Hannah was wanting something carnal. And what God did is he connected it to what? He connected it to something spiritual, right? He connected it to a spiritual desire. And as Christians, our desires, when we have prayer requests on Wednesday night, and there are things that come up that are tragic. I mean, there are people that have cancer. There are people that have children that's got cancer. There are people that's got stuff going on. They've got friends that have lost loved ones. They're trying to work through those issues. God wants those requests to be made known. And he wants us praying for those things. With those desires, man, when you get in a situation and you're pressed because of your situation, God wants you to pray toward that situation. He wants to help you. He wants to get in the middle of that thing, and he wants you to pray about it. But he also wants us to have spiritual desires. Do you have people that you pray for spiritually? Do you pray for this church spiritually, for the things that go on, for the ministries that are out there? I mean, we got church camp that's coming up. There should be a prayer going toward that church camp. There should be a desire. There should be thinking, man, how are we going to get more kids up there so they can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ? Yeah, we do it. And we're gonna show up and we're gonna be there and we're gonna work. Man, we got a lot of good workers in here, and I am appreciative of everybody. We got way more workers than what most people do, man, especially for the size of this church. And then all the work gets done. It ain't that. What I'm talking about is the spiritual side of it. Is it just church camp? Is it just church camp? Or is it, man, what an opportunity here. God, give me souls. God, give us souls at church camp this year. Get some more people there. God, God, help me as I witness, God. Help me to get these kids, Lord. Help me to get them in. Help me to visit places. Help me. See, there's a difference when it comes to desire. What Hannah had was a desire, a burden, and it was a fret to her. It caused tears there in verse 7. Look at verse 8. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? There's a grieving to it. There's a grieving to her situation. I mean, that desire, she's got so much. She's fretting, and then she's got tears, and she's grieving. She's not eating. It's affecting everything. Look at verse 10. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. Bitterness of soul. That's not just bitter. I mean, that's deep right there. That's something that she is just, it is just hurting her so bad that it's all the way down. It's all the way down deep inside. You ever just had something you just yearned for so bad that it hurt, that it caused a pain? That's where she's at. And then you just reading down through here, you can tell through this chapter here that it is on her mind, and it's on her mind, and it's affecting her so bad that Elkanah sees it every day. It's in his face every day. So it's affected her whole life. That's this desire. That's something that she's wanting from God. God's got her to the point and pressed her to the point to where she wants that desire. And what I'm saying is this, is if you want to have the characteristics of a Hannah, you've got to get some desires, and definitely some spiritual desires. There should be some things in your life where you sit down and you decide, I want to see souls saved. I want to go after souls. God's put us in here to see people get saved, hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? I remember just one year, I remember going to Birchfield. Me and Sister Tammy back there. She was working at Birchfield, and so she started working to get me up there. She maneuvering all that thing, so I got to go up there, and with the job that I had, I was able to go during the day. I can remember just going up there, man, and just me walking in, and I was prayed up. I can remember being prayed up, and I can remember being excited about getting able to go up there and preach, right, going up there to Birchfield, being able to preach to those kids. They're all up there in the old gym. They're all in the bleachers up there. I'm standing on the gym floor. I've got the opportunity to do all this stuff. And I remember walking in and Sister Tammy meeting me. And she's got tears in her eyes. And she's crying, just excited about the Lord answering that prayer to be able to get me up there to be able to preach to those people. And I just remember thinking, man, I ain't there. It was just, to me, it was just one of those times the Lord just told me, man, you just walked in like, all right, the preacher's here. I'm not saying I said that out loud. I didn't act like that. I took it serious. I had prayed, and I was asking God to, you know, fill me with the Holy Spirit. But there is a difference of knowing you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and, man, just that desire to get up there. It made a difference in my life. I remember there was a bunch of kids got saved. And I remember thinking, man, Sister Tammy and a bunch of other people up there have been praying for these kids. They see these kids every day. They've got a heart for these kids every day. Man, and it is on her. It was pressing her, right? I remember that. And it's just one of those deals that I saw. And as a Christian, you've got to have some desires. What are some things that's on your mind? I mean, you don't want to be Peninnah. You don't want to see something going on in the church and start accusing people, right? Like Peninnah, that's a Peninnah. It's, well, they don't do this, or they should do that, and they don't do it like this, and we used to do it like this a long time ago. That's Peninnah. What is that? Accuser of the brethren, the adversary. Anytime we catch ourselves in that situation where we're frustrated with people, then that's Peninnah. Hannah, she had a desire, and that's all she's worried about. That's what she was after. That's what she was going toward. She was going toward the Lord. So, verse 11, says this, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, and I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And so what you see there is she gets desperate. See, what a desire will do to you, what God does when he begins to press you, and he'll cause you to want something. He'll cause you to want something. And you get in the middle of that thing, wanting that thing, right? And I'm talking about spiritual desire. And you begin to want something. You begin to want to be able to preach, and you're not getting any meetings, right? And you begin to do that. And what will begin to happen is you begin to feel like God's not listening to you. There's no prayer there. And then, you know, the other preachers around will come in and say, man, I got more meetings I can shake a stick at. I don't know what we're doing. I don't know how I got all these meetings. And you're like, you know, you say, what is that? That is such, there is a pressure there that the Lord wants to put you through. He wants to put you through that pressure spiritually to try to get those motives pushed out of you, the wrong motives pushed out of you, to the point to where it is just, God, I want you. And that is where he gets Hannah to. Hannah has sat here and she's quit eating and she's cried as many tears as she can cry till she can't cry no more. She's fretting, she's grieving, she's bitterness of soul. She's not got anywhere to turn. She got no more left. And man, she begins to go to the Lord and she gets so desperate, she does what? She vows a vow. You ever been there? You ever just said, Lord, if you'll do this, I'll do this. Right? I'm not telling you to vow a vow. I'm not telling you to do all that stuff right now. What I'm trying to get you to point is this. It's to the point to where you don't have anybody else to turn to. God, I need some relief. God, I need some handfuls of purpose. God, I need something. There is something that God can give you that nobody else can give you. Elkanah tried to talk to her and say, am I not better to you than 10 sons? Husbands never know what to say, do they? You got me? What a mess. You say, what do you need? You need the Lord. God will give you something. If you'll get in that book and you'll get to where you're desperate and you'll get down and say, God, I don't even want to move. I don't even want to get up. I remember a story of Jack Hiles. Jack Hiles was talking and he said, I remember, down in Texas, and he's in a church down there in Texas, and he was wanting the power of God, and he read about Moody, and he read about Charles Finney, and he read about all these guys, and talked about how there was a spot in their life where they sat down and they would God just touched them, and they talked about from that moment on, their whole ministry was different. And he tells that story, and he says, I kept praying, and I kept praying, and I kept praying, and nothing was happening. Nobody was getting saved. Nobody was getting saved. I prayed, and God, I don't know what to do. I would fast. I would try to get by myself. I would try to do all those things. I'd be where I was wanting to be. And he said, God's still not doing anything. He said, and then one day I got a call and found out my dad died. He said, and I had prayed for my dad. I had witnessed his dad was a drunk, left him when he was young. And he said, I tried all I could do to get my dad saved. He said, I couldn't get him saved. He said, I didn't have enough power to get my own dad saved. And he was in that spot. He said, I got to that spot. And that's where Hannah's at, that spot. He said, well, what did Jack Hiles do? He said, he went out there and he got on his dad's grave. He said, Dad, I'm not, he said, God, I'm not getting up. I am not a good preacher. I can't lead anybody to the Lord. I have no power in my ministry. I'm not getting off this grave until you do something for me. And he said, I don't know how many days I was there. He said, but I got up and I was a different man. God began to have power with me. And in that message, he said, there's not been a week that we've not baptized somebody since that time. He said, why does God do that? Because he wants you to get to where you understand the only thing that's going to help you is God. He wants you to get there. That's Hannah. That's her behavior. That's what God, that's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us in a situation where all we can do is go to Him. And when that gets blessed, Jack Hiles is, well, he's dead now, but he was still preaching messages and talking about what God did for him. Not what he did. Other people brag on Jack Hiles for what Jack Hiles did. Jack Hiles didn't. He sat there and said, you know what? God gave me this opportunity. God filled me with the Holy Spirit. God gave me power from on high. And it began to make a difference. And God would, in every place in my life, when I needed a decision, he said, I got with the Lord. And the last thing here is, in verse 11, is also not just the desperation, but the dependency. That dependency on God. And what I was talking to you about right there is when you get to that spot, is that desire creates that desperation when it doesn't happen. That desperation creates that dependency on God. And when you get that dependency on God, and God finally answers that prayer down here in verse, look down here in verse 20. Wherefore it came to pass when the time was about, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. So there's a time there where the Lord answers that prayer. But even when she's inside the temple there and she's praying and that request gets granted to her. I mean, there's still some time before that verse there happened. I mean, at least 9 months, right? Had to be at least 9 months. So it's probably a year. And so when you're sitting here praying for things and you feel like God has answered a prayer, God's got you to a point and you feel good. You ever just been in a prayer meeting and that burden's lifted off of you? But the situation is still the same? God's just saying, it's going to take some time. It's just going to take some time. But I got you. Don't quit believing. Don't quit. Don't quit, you know, don't quit praying to me. Don't give up. I've got you. I've got your back. And you got two people right here. You got Hannah. You got Peninnah. And there are days in your life as a Christian that you have lived like Hannah. And unfortunately, there are days in our life where we live like Peninnah. And those are the days that we've got to get away from that. Yeah. We've got to catch that thing as soon as that adversary gets in our mindset and we become somebody that's a provoker of somebody else, or we're mad or we're happy or we got hatred for somebody. Man, you got to get to the Lord. You got to get to the Lord. You got to get that out of your heart. You got to get it out of your heart. Peninnah is never mentioned again in the Bible. Ever. The only thing she was used for was a good, bad example. Let your Christian life be more than that. All right, let's take a break.